Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the best podcast of the 31st century, The Comics Collective, the weekly podcast where we read and discuss a collection of comic books or a graphic novel. I'm your host, Anne.
I'm Alexis.
And I'm Dallas.
And for today's episode, we are traveling to the distant year of 3000-something, and we are talking about the Legion of Superheroes. Not the first one, not the second one, but the third one, because comics are fun. And yeah, we are talking about the Mark Waid and Barry Kitson three-boot Legion of Superheroes book from 2004. So my history with this book is this is one of the first books I picked up when I was first reading comics back in 2013. My library had like the last two volumes on the shelves. So I started the series backwards. I read the last two volumes, then I read the Supergirl stuff, and then I finally read the first two volumes last. So only makes sense that I actually read it in order this time. Went back, we read issues 1 through 15, and yeah, it was definitely an experience down memory lane because I didn't remember any of this, which is very, very nifty. It is not my first Legion books. The Legion is one of my favorite superhero teams, especially at DC Comics. But I believe this was the first Legion book for both of my co-hosts, and I will turn it over to them to let them give you their first impressions of the Legion of Superheroes.
All right, I can go first so that Lex ruminate a little bit. I don't know what to think about these funky little folks. The Legion of Twinks in Space is an interesting concept. I really started to like it once the girls showed up, because all the girls had much more interesting things to do than like the testosterone-fueled boys. I don't think it's incorrect to say like 16-year-old boys are so filled with the only emotion is anger because they don't know what these feelings are yet, but it didn't make for compelling characters to follow. So I don't know. I like the concept of the Legion a lot. I feel like all the math of this should have added up to me being in here like, wow, this is amazing. This is incredible. But I feel like more than anything, there were bright spots where I was like, oh, this is what this could be. And then there was a lot of just gray tone where I didn't feel negative towards the book, but I didn't feel incredibly positive towards the book. And I'm really interested to suss out those feelings as we chat.
Very, very interesting. Also, I'll Venmo you later for the thing you said about the girls. So thank you for that. Lexi, what did you think about these funky little kids?
I have to say, I can honorably mention a couple that I genuinely really liked, but I'm kind of in the same boat as Dallas. Reading this kind of made me want to be like, I should go rewatch Teen Titans, the actual teen group I care about. Like, that shadow girl is real sus in her cape and boots, just like Miss Raven. But no, I genuinely, yeah, girl power. Love the girls. Phantom Girl is everything I want to be when I grow up. I love her bell bottoms and her little cutout tank top. And I love how she's fucking more than one boy in both realities.
Listen, when she was on a date at the same time with two boys,
I said, good for you.
She fully wasn't even trying to pretend. She was like, I'll get to you in a moment. Anyway, back to you.
She's like, hold on, Karate Kid. Give me a minute.
She said,
talk to Fabio in my other world.
She said, did you just say you are Amero-European but grew up in Japan? I'm going to check out of this conversation.
Sorry.
Anyway, hey you, that I was fucking a couple pages back.
You cheated on me? I don't actually care. I'm cheating on you. Goodbye.
Yeah. So, first off, I got a boyfriend in each dimension.
No, I can't help but like actually laugh out loud with like the panels of her in both universes doing weird shit. I think it's so funny. If she just had her own book of her doing weird shit all the time, I would buy that so fast. I think that's so funny. Like when she was fighting crime in our dimension and in her dimension, everyone's like screaming and running away. I think it's so funny. I'm like, this is great. But yeah, like I kind of similar thing. Like I just really wanted to get into it because I like teen groups. I think they're fun. I love the Teen Titans. They have me in a chokehold and they have since I was a child. Purely because of the TV show. But I really wanted to get into it, but I I don't think I was in the right mindset this week to read it. I might have to give it a retry. I had kind of a crazy week, but
see, yeah,
it's all right.
It's all right. Well, I want to thank you both for giving that perspective, because that's partially why I picked this run, is because this was my first one. And this was a run that was designed to get people into the Legion. Listening to Mark Waid talk about this book, he was talking about how Legion history had become so long and convoluted that he wanted some way to simplify it, and he wanted this to be a nice jumping on point. So there's a part of me that's like, well, I kind of want to revisit this for nostalgia, and I also want to see if it holds up as a good jumping on point. And so, you know, kind of used both of you as my guinea pigs for that, and very, very satisfied to see I got similar results. And also, I want you to know that even though I love the Legion and that this run particularly has a very soft spot in my heart, going back and reading these first 15 issues, it's a rocky start. I have to admit, I thought it was a rocky start. I feel like the book doesn't get its footing until maybe issue 8 or 9. And by then, it's like, you're almost a year into this book. Why did it take so long to get here? Why did it take you this long to figure out what the book is? But I'm sure that's a lot of really intricate stuff we can talk about in a second. In the meantime, I did a little bit of research, just because I know both of you are new to the Legion, and I know a lot of people listening are probably a little unfamiliar with the Legion as well, because they've been pretty well hidden by DC Comics over the last couple decades. So I wanted to give a quick recap of that history, tell you how we got from the beginning to here, how this team has played a huge part in DC Comics, why they matter in the history and the context of the publisher, and just how this run came to be. So if that's all good, I'm going to get started on my little spiel that I actually wrote out first. This is the only thing I'm never going to do improvised. So,
I love it.
The history of the Legion of Superheroes, with a past that extends back before even the first appearance of the Justice League of America, and a future that extends well into the 31st century and beyond, the Legion of Superheroes is a DC legacy with mighty roots. The Legion's first appearance was in the pages of Adventure Comics back in 1958, when the three founding members, Cosmic Boy, Lightning Lad, and Saturn Girl, first appeared to recruit a young Kal-El Superboy into their ranks. The Legion was a team from the distant future who, inspired by Superman and the other heroes of the 20th century, carried on the heroic legacy of the DC Universe, even carrying on the tradition of costumes and silly gender names. The Legion would enjoy early popularity, appearing in the pages of Action and Adventure Comics for years, having adventures with Superboy and Girl, until eventually spinning off into their own series in 1973, when the Superboy title evolved and became Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. The artist at the time, by the way, was Dave Cockrum, who many would know best for his role in co-creating popular X-Men characters like Storm and Nightcrawler, both of whom were originally designed as Legionnaires. And yeah, DC dropped the ball big time when they said no to Storm and Nightcrawler on their Legion of Superheroes team. He's like, I'll take these funky queers over here. I'll put them on the other little funky team. Eventually, writers Paul Levitz and Gary Conway, both legends in their own rights, would hop on the title, and the book would lose the Superboy aspect entirely to simply become the Legion of Superheroes. Eventually, Paul Levitz himself would take the sole reins on writing duties, and it would be a brief moment before Keith Giffen jumped on art to produce what is widely considered one of the best DC runs of all time, which is, of course, why we didn't read it today. This team would produce some of the all-time classic stories, including the fan favorite, The Great Darkness Saga. Levitz and Giffen elevated the team into something truly celestial that would last until after Crisis on Infinite Earths. After that event, Giffen took over the pen and started the 5 years later era, a time when the Legion of Superheroes followed in the path of many books at the time and became darker, grittier, and more mature. There was also a sister title launched at the time called Legionnaires. There was lighter in tone but focused on clones of the original six Legion members. Yeah, comic weirdness happened. It was a time. It was a moment. But funny enough, this is about where Mark Waid comes into the story, because even though the Legion story we read today was a reboot, it wasn't the first, and it wasn't even the first by Mark Waid. Following the Crisis event Zero Hour, Mark Waid and Scott Collins gave the Legion their first ever full slate clean and relaunched them with Legion of Superheroes number 0. After the last run had aged the Legion up and turned them into a group of outlaws, this was seen as a return to form, a more contemporary version of what the Legion was always meant to be from the start, a group of kids trying to prove themselves to a world that had moved on past the superheroics of the past. Some have called this reboot the Archie Legion, just for, you know, simplicity's sake. Funny enough, before they ever started annihilating the Marvel cosmos, the team of DNA, Dan Abnett and Andy Landing, cut their teeth on tearing the Legion apart, spanning off into a very well Steve series, Legion Lost, in which a handful of Legionnaires became lost in space and had to find their way home. It's very good. I highly recommend it. But the series would eventually find its way to another dead end after taking another tip towards a darker tone. And DC needed a way to make this team that was at one point as big as the Teen Titans into something popular again, something that would speak to the kids. And so Mark Waid was brought back once again, and we got the Three Boot Legion, the youthful rebellion, the book that we had the chance to read this week. Mark Waid says that the Legion is one of his favorite DCU properties, and it's one he's most passionate about. Speaking on the series and the challenges in rebooting it, in an interview with Ain't It Cool News, he said, "The absolute irrefutable reality was that by the early 2000s, new reader reception of the Legion was there was an impenetrable read full of mismatched history that made no sense. You can argue all you want that the perception wasn't fair or accurate if you're so inclined, but it didn't matter. That was the series' reputation, and it hardened around the characters like cement. We couldn't give that book away no matter how good it actually was. In fact, it's forgotten, but the last time it was relaunched around about 2000 as The Legion by Abnett and Lanning, you could not have asked for a greater promotional push. Wizard Magazine promoted it with giveaways, and they never promote DC. Ads were everywhere, retailer incentives were created, and it was still pretty well DOA. So in 2005, I was asked if I wanted to come on board, and I felt there was only two ways to go. Either try to go back to the Silver Age continuity, which was flatly impossible, in part because of the ongoing litigation between the Siegel Estate and DC over who owns Superboy, or plant a giant flag that said, everything fresh starts here, it's all new, it's a total reboot, and we're all on the same page, readers and creators. I chose the latter path, for good or ill. Barry Kitson and I worked out their entire world, including origin material you'll never see, and, at the suggestion of writer Tom Payer, rethought the Legion as less of a super team and more of a political movement. And we got some mileage out of it, and I like what we did. And so that's partially why I chose this as the first book that the collective would cover on the Legion of Superheroes. It was mine, and it made me fall in love with these characters and the Legion as a concept, and I wanted to see if it could capture that lightning in a bottle for anyone else, or if it has come to fall a bit short. And if so, why? I want to see what made the Three Boot Legion work and what was working against it.
That was so good, Anne. Look at you being so smart.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Maximum effort this week. Never again.
Hey, I just have to say, teeny tiny plug right in the beginning of our episode. I'm so excited for next week. It is my time of the year. Spoopy month.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting. I'm already in the mood.
I've already started with my research and everything. I have a notebook full. But anyway, I'll save that for next week. But no, I feel like these characters, just like start it simple. I like these characters. I feel like they have a lot of potential. I think they're fun. I think they are creative. I love their different different power ranges. I love their kooky outfits. I love that Cosmic Boy's a bitch to everybody. He's such a dick. He's such a dick. But, sorry, Carson just walked into the room. But anyway, I think they're fun. I think that I would like to see more of them. I think it's piqued my curiosity, I think. I don't know if I'm not in love with the run or so far of what the little bit that I read, but I think it planted the seed of curiosity for me because I have never even known that this team existed before this week.
Right.
I think I always just feel like teen teams are always just a fun idea. I mean, we just read one. I mean, we're currently reading one with Invincible. Like, there's a million different of these teams, but they're all just fun because they're relatable. Like, teenagers, we've all been there. We all done that. It sucks ass, but can you imagine if we had superpowers? That would be so much fun. But I just feel like it might be a little out of touch, like a little out of date. Just a little old school for my taste. But I was excited to going into it, but I don't think it's officially knocked it off of my radar. I feel like it's still hanging by a fingernail. One little Phantom Girl fingernail. She's like, you're not done with me yet, bitch.
Ooh, I'm gonna hand you the Terrifics next. I think you'll like that.
The Terrifics rule so fucking hard. I was gonna
say, Dallas made a face. I'm curious.
The Terrifics is one of my favorite comic books of all time. That's my C-list fave. Love that book.
Yeah. And if you're holding on by that Phantom Girl fingernail, it's the book for you.
Okay.
She is in it, girl.
Okay. Add that to the roster.
Listen, she is. So here's, listen, I'll do the Terrifics corner really quick. Marvel Comics said Fantastic Four, who? We've never heard of them. And DC said, bitch, we've heard of them. And so they made a knockoff team called the Terrifics that had Phantom Girl instead of Invisible Woman. It had Metamorpho instead of The Thing. It had, is it Elastic Man? What's his name?
It's Plastic Man.
Plastic Man instead of Reed Richards. And I had Mr. Terrific instead of Johnny Storm. And it's so good. It asked the bold question, what if the Fantastic Four were fun? And it does not disappoint. Love that book. But anyway, back to the Legion of Superheroes. Mm-hmm. I feel like this era of comic books, 2005-ish, is old enough to feel dated, but not old enough to feel retro. I feel like when we read comic books from the 60s to like mid-70s, it's like, man, this is archaic. Or man. It's camp.
Mm-hmm. Or man, it's camp. Toad really just ran away from her because she's pregnant. Wow.
Oh. Wow.
Wow.
Well, then like the mid-70s to like mid-80s for me is camp peak. That's when people come in just styling, running away from ladies because they're pregnant, coming in their giant frill, saying the craziest shit you've ever heard in your life. And I'm like, this is comics, baby. You have Scott Summers, who has a baby with this woman who he married just because she looked like his dead wife. And then his dead wife comes back in and is like, bitch, I lived. And he's like, I will leave this woman and our baby right now. And he leaves. And so then that wife sells that baby to the devil to get powers so she can punish him. That is the craziest thing that's ever happened in that sweet 10-year window.
Queen.
She is. Her name is Madeline Pryor. She is a queen.
Oh!
She sold a baby for the best underboob of all time.
Listen, she said, my titties is spectacular. I will sell my baby to punish this husband. And the husband's like, I married you because I thought you looked like my ex-wife anyway. And
incredible. And she's the bad guy. Tells you a lot about society.
Listen here, woke moralists. Madeline Pryor was right. And then you move from like the mid-80s up until like 2006 for me is the old, but in a way that I remember, in a way that like low-rise jeans will never be a retro fun cutie outfit for me, because I'm like, I remember my Aunt Tammy coming in with a whale tail and thinking at the age of 4, like, that is not for me. No, thank you.
How dare you talk about Aunt Tammy on the internet? That woman.
And so I feel a little bit like this Legion of Superheroes is not old enough for me to be like, wow, how whimsical. But it's not new enough for me to feel like it's accessible. It's like the whale tail of Legion of Superheroes, where I'm intrigued. Like when you see a whale tail on someone that's hot, you're like, I'm intrigued. But you have to stay away. That's where we're at with this Legion. And I think...
Why does that logic make sense? Think,
listen. They call it Three Boot. It's Whale Tail era. And I think a little bit of that is because there's no Superboy or Supergirl in the part that we've read. Mm-hmm. Because here's the secret sauce. When I was listening to your history, you said that they started as guest stars in Superboy's book. And every time I've heard of the Legion of Superheroes, it's as an attachment to Superboy. These are his superhero friends that he has before he grows up. And what I found out about the Three Boot era is that it doesn't have Superboy because there was a legal battle for who owned Superboy at this point. And so they literally weren't allowed to use him. And I think that that is what's missing. I think the Legion is a big and crazy enough thing that you need one anchor point of someone you care about to learn about everyone else and how you love them. And I don't feel like we had that with this. I feel like Mark Waid loves the Legion of Superheroes enough that he's like, well, all of these characters are my POV characters because I've loved them for my whole life. And so I don't need to give you, the reader, a foothold in this story. And so I felt like I had to fight Mark Waid to get into this book. I'm like, Mark, let me in. Let me in. And by like issue 8, I felt like I was in. But I had to work very hard at this book. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to hand it off to somebody else that isn't reading this for a podcast. You know, like I would have dropped this book, frankly. I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I read the whole bit that we read because I ended up really liking it, but I would have dropped it. This bitch would not have been in my pull list.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said. And I gotta admit, it was hard for me to get through too. I was reading it and at times I'd be like, this is the book that I love so much. I'm like, something's wrong here. Something's missing. And the moment that we had that conversation earlier this week where we talked about POV characters, I think that hit me where it's like, I have no idea what the direction of this book is. And it's because so far, the first like 4 or 5 issues of this is character focused, but it like skips over a bunch of characters, kind of like it's telling an anthology, you know, where it's like this issue, we're going to focus on Dream Girl. This issue, we're going to focus on Triplicate Girl. And then this issue, we're going to focus on Cosmo. And it's like, okay, so we got a bunch of different characters. I have no idea what this book, I have no idea where this is going. It's like, we're vibing at this point. And, you know, some of the stories are really good. Like, I loved, is it Triplicate Lass or is it Triplicate Girl?
I thought it was Triplicate Girl.
I think it's Girl too. I like her better as Duo Damsel, because at least I remember that one.
Yeah.
In the original one, she lost one of her selves. So she's just like, that's fine. I'll just rename myself. It's fine.
We'll rebrand.
It's okay. Yeah, I thought that was a wonderful little one-off sci-fi story about a woman who has to rebuild an entire planet by herself and then leaves, comes back, and then she's not even her own best friend anymore. I thought that was really, really interesting, really cool. She's changed too much.
She's changed too much. She's not a friend anymore.
But I'm reading through it, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. And by the time that plot actually starts coming in, it feels so alien to everything that's happened before, where it's like, there's a disconnect. I don't feel like I'm engaged enough with anyone to feel like I care about where the story is going. It feels like things are just happening to happen. And there's a point where that plot eventually takes over enough where you can latch onto that, and that's the thing I followed through. I grabbed that plot for fucking dear life and held onto it. I'm like, okay, Terra Firma, the other bad guy, they're gonna start a war. That's what I can hold on to. And I think that's not the way to start a story. I feel like that does exactly what it did to both of you. And it's like, it's solid. I have interest in these characters, but it's not enough to latch me on. So.
Well, I think what's so interesting is that this made me really like these characters. And I'm absolutely going to go read the Levitz and Giffen run now.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to finish out this run. I'm going to go read what this person so clearly liked so much, if that makes sense. A few things from that interview that you quoted from Mark Waid that I find interesting. The decision to skip past an origin. He's like, we made all this origin material you are never going to get to see. And then the decision to make it a political movement and not a superhero team. Mm-hmm. I feel like those are two big decisions that kept me at arm's length. I felt like I was dropped into the middle of a story about things I didn't care about until much later in the story. Here's an analogy that I've been thinking about all week. When you start up Star Wars, you get the brilliant crawl, right? And so in the original Star Wars, that bad boy is crisp. It's like, listen, there are bad guys. There are good guys. The good guys, they stole something from the bad guys. The bad guys are pissed. You're now into it. And you're like, holy shit. And when everything shows up, it's incredible. And then in The Phantom Menace, when it starts to crawl, it says, galactic trade routes between the Nemoidians and the Nabooians are very crazy right now. The politics of the galaxy is quite amok. And you, dear 7-year-old, you need to keep track of who is who and who is mad at who about these trade routes. And this whole conflict resolves around the money flow in the galaxy. And your eyeballs have fallen out of your head and you're juggling them as a 7-year-old. You're like, give me Poodoo, Jar Jar Binks, and Darth Maul is save this movie. I dare you to stop The Phantom Menace before Duel of the Fates and tell me if it's a good movie. The answer is no.
Excuse you, there were 3 sea monsters. Name another movie that has 3 sea monsters.
Listen, there is always a bigger fish. But all I'm saying is that Duel of the Fates is so good that people leave Phantom Menace like, that was pretty good. No, it wasn't. Duel of the Fates is so good.
It's me every time. And it's me watching The Phantom Menace every time.
You're like, damn, I hate this movie. And then Darth Maul hits the second lightsaber on and you're like, oh shit. Oh fuck. I'm feeling something. All I'm saying is that I never got Duel of the Fates in this. In this Legion of Superheroes, it was all the Nemoidians and the Nabooians not vibing on their trade agreements. And never once did anyone come in with a double-bladed lightsaber to be like, this is what it's all about, baby.
Gosh. I can feel that. Lexi, just to turn it over to you for a second, because you're the one who's newest to this. When you're starting a comic for the first time, what do you feel like is the most important thing for you to catch on to early?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I feel like there's a couple
boobs. Big old boobies is what she's looking for.
I do like those, but maybe that's the second thing. But anyway.
Honkadonkos.
Oh my God.
I feel like there's a couple of things, and it kind of depends. Okay. I love a good origin story. Like, when Dallas was saying that there's a whole origin story that we didn't get, I'm like, bitch, that would have made me like this. What the fuck? But I love a good origin story. I love a character that I recognize from just something. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Whatever. If Superboy would have been in this, I would have been a little more interested. I love a good costume. Give me some bedazzles and some bell bottoms. I'll be a fan. And yeah, like, I feel like a really solid, this is where our story starts. This is Supergirl who woke up drunk on another planet and doesn't know where she is. I'm hooked. I love it. Mm-hmm. I just keep coming back in my mind, I don't know why, to that Supergirl one that we just did. Mm-hmm. I cannot remember the full name of it now. Up in the Sky?
Supergirl. Woman of Tomorrow.
Woman of Tomorrow. Yeah, that one. I love that one. That was so good. Like, because that one just kind of, you jumped right in. But you knew what was going on the whole time. So I just feel like, I don't know. I like a quick beginning. I think that's what I'm getting at. I like a quick beginning. I like when I know what I'm here for. And I feel like this was a little wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm. It had a very, very, like, soft opening, I feel like.
It was very hopscotchy for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, now we're on to a different 6 characters than we were in the last issue.
Right.
Okay. Now I have to remember their names. Will I? No, I won't.
Oh, and that's always the problem with the Legion book, is just how many characters there are.
There
fortunately,
are a lot.
Fortunately, Legion books do the thing that I wish most X-Men books would do, and it's like, when you're reading it, it pops up, and the first time you see a character, they put, like, the name tag next to them. I'm like, this is beautiful. Like, now if I want to know more, I can Google. This is appreciated.
And, like, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I really like these characters. Carson and mm-hmm. I was talking to him earlier this morning while I was reading one of them. I was like, Carson, listen to this. Listen how funny this character is. I was like, there's this boy who they call him a giant boy or whatever the hell his name is. I was like, but he actually, his power is that he shrinks. I was like, he's not actually giant. He just can become 6 feet tall, and they just have reversed it. And every time they call him his big name, he gets mad. He's like, no, I'm a little shrinky dink man, not the big one. And they're like, no, you're not.
It's iconic.
They're gatekeeping his race. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, you are a small man that gets big. And he's like, no, I'm not even a per-. He's like, no, I'm a big man. I love it. We laugh about it for like 30 minutes. Like, that's so funny.
It's one of my favorite little gags. And I love that the two size-changing characters in this, just Colossal Boy and yes. Shrinking Violet, they are just like the complete opposites. Colossal Boy gets small and Shrinking Violet gets big. So yes. I thought that was really fun.
So funny. I thought they were hilarious. See, like, I loved the characters. Like, let's do something fun with them.
Right.
Alexis, I got an important question. I already asked Anne versus over text, so I spoiled it for her. But on the triplicate girl planet, mm-hmm. do you think the clones ever had sex?
Of course.
And my follow-up question, is that incest or masturbation?
I consider that narcissistic masturbation. Purely because no, but that like to the extreme. But anyway, really funny side note. If anybody's watching the new season of Rick and Morty, they literally have a whole episode about that. Beth bangs her clone.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta get.
It's quite entertaining, and everybody knows except Jerry.
Would it's so you, funny. Alexis? Would you bang your clone?
Of course.
Word. I would too.
I know what I like. What can I say?
What I told Dallas over the phone was not incest, not masturbation, but a secret third thing.
That's it's a little wishy-washy. It's a little questionable. It's a little ethical questionable.
Listen, I think that's why they kicked her off the planet. I don't think it's incest. She didn't come back with new ideas. They're like, we don't know where you've been. And this
we don't
is
know
a,
what's clutched well, you.
This is a closed circuit relationship. We're not looking for whatever fauna you've brought in from the outside world.
Is that considered a polyamorous relationship?
If it's just yourself?
Mm.
It kind of feels like them. It feels a little bit like jacking off with your left hand. You're like, unless who the hell are you? What's going on here? This is a whole new world.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe this has come up again. I literally was having a conversation the other day with Carson about this. About Beth from freaking Rick and Morty.
Listen, you sit on your hand till it goes dead.
Oh then. My god.
I don't need to know! Hell.
We say come back with fauna, you definitely mean Element Lad, right? he is fauna.
Okay, I got another issue with the Legion of Superheroes. I love these characters a lot. They also have the 2005 problem where they do all these grown-up things and then it's like, these are 15-year-olds. It's like the One Tree Hill problem or the Euphoria problem where it's like, put it in college. Like, if they're in college, it makes sense that they're all boofing each other and they're starting, like, political parties and doing all this crazy shit. I always feel a little voyeuristic when it's like, ooh, who's sleeping with who? Also, they're 16. I was like, this is perverse. I don't like every time in this book that they're like, we have invented polyamory. It's the Legion of Superheroes. I'm like, you are 16 years old. Stop it. Stop it right now. Let me introduce you to the 31st century Jesus because y'all need it. I don't know. I wish they were grown-ups, but also I realize like the whole point is teenage rebellion or whatever, but... Mm-hmm. Every single time they were like, and we're all under 18. I was like, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Mm, yep. The fun part of no longer being the target audience for that, but the target audience demands sex. So they get it. They get plenty of it. There's more sex in this book than there is in modern comics, though. And that's ridiculous because there's like nothing in this book.
Yeah, they'd be boofing in this
book. Boofing.
They'd be boofing and they'd be underage. Also, is Eat It Grandpa just 2005 for OK Boomer?
Probably, yeah.
I loved that when he said that. I thought that was so funny.
Jeez, that at work.
Okay. Well, I think what I've gotten a lot of is that the characters really seem to work, but the plot fell a little short. So I'm talking about what we liked. Talk about some of the characters you liked for a second. Who really stood out to you?
Colossal Boy. I've mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
Love that story. Like I'll probably laugh about that after I get off this episode. That's just so funny to me. Big boy that goes small, but nobody wants to address that. That's the real power. I like the little I like the little mini story about the invisible boy, how his dad was the popo and they wanted to kill him.
I would push that kid off a building.
Yeah, I'd be like, you bitch. Are you serious?
I hated that little punk ass. First off, didn't have a superhero outfit. I was like, why are you dressed like 2005? And
why are you dressed like Tobey Maguire? Get out of here.
First off, don't slander Tobey Maguire that way. Second off, I hated that kid. Every time Cosmic Boy was like, you're a bitch. I was like, that's the only thing we've agreed about this whole book, Cosmic Boy.
Yes, Cosmic Boy, you were correct.
So true. So true. I hate that little punk ass. Everyone, when everyone was mean to him, I was like, yes, be meaner. Call him insults he'll remember for the rest of his life.
Actually, no, you know who made me uncomfy with a capital U? Brainiac.
That guy. Brainiac 5. Mm-hmm. See, this is the one that surprises me the most, because I think it's because I came in from the series later, and I also know him from other series, but Brainy's one of my favorites. Brainy's a big fan favorite, but I have to agree, in this run, he's definitely coming off more emotionless than he normally does.
Yeah, he's a little cold and kind of rude. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. We get it, you're smarter than everybody else, but that's fine. Okay, yeah. Dallas, get out
he's
of here.
He's an interesting character in the way that it's like, imagine if your great-great-grandfather was like space Hitler and stole and destroyed a bunch of planets, and you're like, you're named after him. you're Space Hitler 5, and you have to go with that weight on your shoulders. That's enough to make anyone a little grumpy at all times. So I think he's interesting from that angle. And just his personality later in the series, after he meets like Supergirl, and after later things happen with Dream Girl, it eases up a little bit. But at the beginning of the series, he's definitely a jagged edge. Just a little, just to put it politely, yeah.
Dallas, I didn't mean... I apologize. That was out of nowhere. I saw the hurt in your face.
Listen, she called me Brainiac 5 when I agree. I hated Green Slim Shady. He was so grumpy all the time. I was like, first off, you can't buzz your hair and bleach it and be green and also not be cool. That is just unacceptable. It felt a little bit like when Spock was a dick for too long in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek. Mm-hmm. When you're like, I get it, he's logic, but why is he mean? That's what this one felt like. I was like, everyone likes this character. I feel like I'm supposed to like him. All the boys sucked. Ultra Boy, idiot. I was like...
His one consistent power is idiot.
Idiot.
First off, Karate Kid, stupid name. Second off, Cultural Appropriation Lad is his real name.
You want to talk about for a second how hard you have to try to make diversity not happen in this book? Because you literally have the kid who's like, I grew up in Japan, but I'm definitely from Euro-Asia. You know, I'm definitely from Europe. Mm-hmm. Make no mistakes, I grew up in Japan, but definitely from Europe. And how they definitely set that up at the beginning, where it's like, you had to take steps to go out of your way to make this kid white.
It is fully crazy. It is just all white kids. This mm-hmm. whole book is, the big message of the Legion of Superheroes is... The future is run by waspy little kids. Just a bunch of little white assholes running around saying, life is too good. Somebody's got to mess this up. I was like, it would be white kids that wanted to end Utopia just because they were bored. You're right. They're like, nothing interesting has happened. Let's start a war. Villains. No. Tiny villains.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which also, I think, was... such a weak ass. If you want to go from the political angle at this, why pick such a weak start where it's like things are just quiet? It's like there are so many political issues that people could have in the future. I feel like quiet is the least interesting one you could have picked.
It was super weak ass. If you want to make this a political thriller, I mean, 1984 has been done to death, but like the youth rebelling against, like it drifted into the youth rebelling against fascists, but it kind of felt like that came out of nowhere because the opening was like, they solved every problem and the teenagers just didn't like that. And so now teenagers are saying, we don't like that it's easy. You want to be super.
You know, I hate giving any credit to Geoff Johns, but I think the one thing that he does very well with when he brought the Legion back after this reboot into the main continuity with his Action Comics run is that he made the main political movement there was xenophobia. Is the Legion had to fight against xenophobia, which as a collection of people from across the entire galaxy grouping up together, that makes sense as a very common enemy for them to face.
That would be hard for a bunch of white kids from 30, 21st century to deal with.
Look, one problem at a time. First, we got the political conflict right. Second, you have to wait until the Bendis run before the team starts looking as diverse as it probably should.
Listen, that sounds a lot like Twitter.com. A bunch of white 15-year-olds folding their hands like, we're about to solve racism.
Isn't that just the current Son of Kal-El run?
Big if true. But also, I'm going to stick with my Twitter analogy there because I want to shoot that shot.
That was
appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for us, a group of three white people in this podcast, to call this out as well.
Well, at least two of us are women.
There we go. We got it. We got the two-thirds rule. So we pass, I guess.
Dallas is a minority for the first time in his life.
How's it feel? We're going to start making laws. Dallas can only speak when we let him.
Dallas is muted until we say otherwise.
Okay. I'll do the podcast with my titties out. I don't care.
Ooh. Nope, that's not allowed. No.
Oh, never mind.
No male presenting nipples on the show, please.
No, we're going to we're going to ban those kind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Specifically.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
So, Anne, I'm curious. Yes. What? Because we have read a book.
And what? My question for you is why?
No! Why this book? No, I mean, I'm going to ask that in a better way, but thank you. shut the fuck up, Dallas. No, but I'm curious because we read a book that I read when I was younger. Like, mm-hmm. We read Bone, and so it was very nostalgic for me. So I'm curious, like, what, while you were reading this, do you remember, like, bits and pieces that stood out to you when you were younger? Like, do you know what I'm trying to ask? Like, what about this book made you want to go revisit it at a later date? I'm curious.
I remember reading this book the first time, and I remembered the thing that drew me in the most was the characters and the interactions that these characters had. I remembered a story that was very youthful, a story that was very much like a soap opera, a story that had a lot of moving parts, and I started to care about all these characters very deeply. And I think revisiting the series from the beginning forward is what got me, because this, even though this is the run that made me fall in love with the Legion, this isn't the part of the run that made me fall in love with the Legion. It's the only time I can say trying to read a comic the correct way has come back to bite me in the ass, because I feel like the magic isn't there yet. I will hold by, the series felt like it was coming together towards the end there, and I'm actually going to keep reading a little bit, I think. I want to see what changes once Supergirl shows up, because I remember that being like the catalyst where it's like things start getting interesting. The focus shifts from this very wishy-washy political overtone to being straight on these kids. And I think that's what makes it work. I think eventually they figure out what's selling, what's not. And I think this is a series that gets better over time. And I'm going to keep reading through to see if that actually holds up or if that's just my rose-colored glasses guiding my perspective. But I think that this is just a series that unfortunately was not all there at the very beginning.
So, Anne, my follow-up question for you. If I like these characters,
yes,
what run should I go to next? Like, you feel like you know my taste pretty well. Should I go just straight to the Great Darkness saga? Should I start with where Levitz and Giffen start? Should I go straight to 5 years later? How should I read it?
I think if you like these characters, you can jump just about anywhere and you'll find something there that clicks with you. But I think the Great Darkness saga is a great place to go next. The big thing with the Great Darkness saga I was worried about, which is why I didn't want to jump straight into it, was the fact that there are just so many characters and so many moving pieces. It's hard to find a good jumping on point for the Legion, just because it's like, I don't disagree with Mark what he said in that interview where it's like their continuity and how much there is there. Just like any team that has like 30 plus members rotating in and out at a time is a lot to take in. And just, I was hoping that this series would be that good, like, break-in, where it's like you can learn about at least some of the characters and kind of get a vibe for them, and then you can hop around and the rest, you know, kind of paves its way after that. But I think that's a good place to start. I also think because I jumped into Legion Lost unaware of like anything that happened before. And Legion Lost is such a character focused little mini, because each issue, it's about 12 issues long, I think, and it focuses on about 12 Legionnaires that get trapped in the middle of space. Each issue is told kind of like the beginning of this run, but more effectively, because each one focuses from the perspective of a different Legionnaire as they're like trying to figure out what their situation is. And it's so much more effective because it actually uses their perspectives to push their narrative forward instead of just like interrupting the narrative, which is what I feel like this run kind of did. So that's a good one to keep an eye out for. I haven't read 5 years later yet, so I can't give any perspective on that one. And I will say that the second best jumping on spot, which I think is sadly more effective than this one was, is if you jump onto that Superman and the Legion of Superheroes Action Comics run, the volume from Geoff Johns from 2008, I want to say, that's going to be a really effective place to figure out who these characters are and have a solid story along with it.
All I'm saying is I would put the Geoff Johns is an asshole banner over the top of a new Krypton episode if you ever wanted to help me read that, because I am curious about Johns' Action Comics.
It's a good run. Bad person, good run. We'll constantly keep saying that, but yeah, the new Krypton, which sucks because new Krypton is one of my favorite Superman eras ever. It's one of those things that's like, you know, it's going to fall apart, but you're sad for when it does because you're like, this is a status quo that I don't want to ever change. New Krypton felt almost like it. This is a big exaggeration, but it felt like Superman's Krakoa era for me because it changed things up that much.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so I do want to shine some positive lights on this, because I feel like I've been pretty negative about this run, but it really did spark an interest for me in the Legion that I wanted it to. Like, my big goal coming in this was, I want to understand what my friend loves so much about the Legion of Superheroes, and I want the tools to go and read the classic runs that I'm very interested in. And I actually feel like it did do that, where I fell in love with the characters because I actually thought, as weird of an approach as it was, the one-shots about each character made me care about them a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, the sci-fi worlds that Mark Waid was able to create, I guess, I don't know if this was stuff he inherited, but it was a first for me. So the idea that Triplicate Girl comes from a whole planet that she rebuilt by herself, the idea that Brainiac 5's people wanted more room for themselves and their computers, so they shrunk all themselves down to be minuscule on their planet so it could support all of them. Fascinating. The approach to each of these characters and their planets, the introduction of Dream Girl and her whole people, the introduction of Phantom Girl and her whole people, my favorite, Princess Phantasma. I mean, her superpower is wealth until she has sorcery. Forget about it. She's incredible. Loved her. I really left liking these characters and wanting the book to just, like, it felt like it was grinding gears and I just wanted it to jolt and line up because I liked the characters a lot and I liked their interactions. I wanted to see them playing. So as hard as I've been on this run and this episode so far, it's not because the Legion of Superheroes isn't a fun concept. I just want to see them in a run that clicks for me better.
Totally. I think that's one of the things that drew me to them so much. It's just, this is a group of characters that's so dynamic and interesting in a way that a lot of other DC properties aren't. I think it's really cool that each member of the Legion does their own thing and has such a drastically different backstory. I think having each person come from a different world where they have this own culture and this background, it's such a rich lore. It's such a rich mythos, which is something that I love. Personally, I love diving into with comics. And it's one of the reasons I love DC Comics so much, is just the history behind it, the lore, the things that make this world feel deep and lived in and fantastical. I find all of that in the Legion of Superheroes. And also, it's one of the only places in the DC Comics universe where the girls get to play on an even playing field with the guys. Because it's like, you'll read Justice League Run after Justice League Run where there's like an 80-20 ratio, you know? Where there's like, there's going to be six guys, but there's always going to be one or two girls. And that's about it for the entire run. This is like, we're going to just split the shit up 50-50. You have no idea what the distribution is going to be, but we're always going to be around. And they're just going to keep hopping back and forth between different characters. And, you know, in a DC Comics universe where sometimes you just get Batman after Batman after Batman after Batman. Sometimes it's really nice to just have a laid back story with Princess Projecta and Cosmic Boy and Brainiac 5 and Quizlet and Telos and all these other random wacky space dudes and dudettes and non-binary people that are just, it's one of the reasons I love comics. They made me love comics.
I agree. And I think they actually capture a really great moment of a bright future in mm-hmm. moment in fiction. When you look back at things like Star Trek and Legion of Superheroes, you see this idea from the 60s that the future is a place that we want to go to. Mm-hmm. It looks more like the Jetsons. It's something exciting. And then there is a harsh shift in the modern world where we're scared of the future now. And right. So it was a little bit fun to read that this is not dystopian. This is utopian. And again, I'm just curious to check out more Legion stories, honestly.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because to me, the Legion of Superheroes has always been the proof of concept of the DC universe, because they are proof that the hope and the optimism of the superheroes that we know and love, the Supermans, the Batmans, the Wonder Womans, they're the proof that it succeeds in the end and that it's something worth fighting for, because they're the ones living in the world that they made. And that's such a good message to send. I love seeing the Legion because they embody everything that makes DC Comics special to me. Lexi, back over to you for a second. What do you think about the Legionnaires' world? What makes it click for you? What makes these characters something that, even though the story wasn't exactly what we wanted it to be, what makes them resonate with you?
I just feel like they're such fun ideas. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like they all have fun powers. They're all, like, exactly what Dallas said. Like, they all have their own histories. Like, that, it's all there on the brink. It just needs to be mm-hmm. let out. Like, it's all been thought of. It's there. Like, those origin stories, the backgrounds of these people, like, it just has such a thick lore that I can feel, but we're mm-hmm. just not getting it. And I feel like if we were to get it, I would love it so much more, because I want to know these. I want to be emotionally attached to these characters. Like, I think that's another thing that's really big for me with comics. Like, I want to feel attached to them. Like, I like being mm-hmm. attached to characters. I like getting to know them, knowing their ups and downs, where they come from, their lives, what planets they're from. I think that's so cool. I think it's so cool that people can think this type of shit up by themselves and then, like, have other people like it. That's so mm-hmm. crazy to me. That's so crazy to me. I was talking to somebody about the other day. I was like, can you imagine just, like, writing something? We were specifically talking about, like, The Hobbit. I was like, can you imagine writing something so big and so crazy, and then just, like, the entire world is like, yeah, this is pretty rad, man. This is great. It's crazy to me. Just, like, let us have it. Mm-hmm. Let us have the knowledge. We want it. We all like it. Just, you're not going to scare us away with putting more stuff in it.
That actually brings me to a quick question. Do you think that the cast size is too much? Do you think it's too intimidating, or do you think it's, like, just right for the levels of potential soap opera drama you could get in a teenage book like this?
I kind of go back and forth. I feel like mm-hmm. it might be a little bit too big for that getting to know everybody type of thing that I like, but it's big because there's a lot of drama, which I like. It feels like high school with these characters, which I think is kind of the point, because, I mean, they're technically supposed to be 16, quote unquote, mm-hmm. even though they're built like 25-year-olds. I don't know what the hell 16-year-olds looked like back then, but sure as hell not what I looked like. But no, like, I kind of go back and forth. Like, I wish it was a little bit smaller, so it was a little bit easier to, like, get a really good grasp on everybody. But I liked the different moving parts and, like,
getting to see what other ideas they had for characters.
I like that. And maybe that's part of the reason the Legion clicks, is because usually if it's a team of like 30 plus people, that's about what my high school class size was. So maybe that's why I vibe with that drama really well. I want to see more Legion clicks. That would be really fun. Did you know in the old Legion books, they always had like a Legion leader, like, you know, Cosmic Boy and Brainiac 5 were fighting over it the whole time in this book. Back in the earlier runs, they actually had fans vote who they wanted the Legion leader to be. And it could be literally anyone. And it would apparently piss the writers off a lot, because sometimes the readers would pick characters they had zero plans for. And they're like, well, got to make room for him now. You got to figure out a way to make Duo Damsel the leader. Have fun with that. Goodbye.
See, I love that shit. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should bring that back. Let's just fuck with the writers at this point.
If DC and Marvel both have been doing a lot of social media polls, like Marvel's been doing their X-Men poll, DC's been doing their round robin stuff, I would love to see them bring back, like,
that shit up.
Yeah, bring back the Legion and have people vote on the leader again. That, you want social media buzz? It's built into the comic. I don't know what more they want. Just don't give it to Bendis again. Just do anything but give it to Bendis again.
Ugh. Word.
What did you think of the comics letters page? I thought that was so fun.
Those were very, very fun. I like having the characters actually read out the letters and act them out. That was a lot of fun.
Who was the worst character and why was it Chameleon?
It's okay. So true.
The one thing I will say for Chameleon, though, is I do appreciate the very early 2000s attempt to make Chameleon like non-binary and completely genderless. They tried real hard to avoid those pronouns, though, because I kept my eyes out for it. I don't think they use any pronouns for Chameleon at all in this entire run, because I'm pretty sure they're like, do we say it? What the fuck do we say? We can't. I don't know what to do. And I'm pretty sure if they had to use pronouns at some point, they would have completely, like, blown up. But I do appreciate the fact that there is enough sci-fi there to be like, okay, you know what, Chameleon, shapeshifter, probably androgynous, probably without gender, so let's give that a little shot. Otherwise, absolutely no character there to speak of. But
listen, I'm allowed to hate non-binary people too. I don't hate Chameleon because they're non-binary. I hate them and they happen to be non-binary.
Just hate Chameleon.
Equal opportunity hater. I appreciate it.
What a boring ass they them. First off, Chameleon, what have you ever done? Second off,
Chameleon, where is
when Chameleon was like, I would just be a wall made of flesh. I was like, how dare you put that image in my head, Chameleon? I'll never forgive you. I think a lot of problems in this run could be solved by Cosmic Boy and Brainiac 5 kissing. Discuss.
That sexual tension, unreal.
It's true.
Listen, stop fighting over who's in charge and blow each other's backs out. It's what you want to do. Just get it over with and rule over the Legion hand in hand.
As boyfriends.
I do like that there, at least that led to like, not a civil war between the Legion, but at least the Legion not being able to agree with each other over who they want to be leading. I think it could have been executed better because there were times where it was like very unclear who's on whose side here, but I at least appreciate there was an effort. It's like, Mark Waid, I'm going to give you a little star sticker for effort. You tried on that one.
Very annoying of Invisible Boy to be like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was me. I hate that.
Trying to blame it on Shrinking Violet, and she's literally real the whole time. And she's like, this is some bullshit, but I'm just going to let it play out because I feel like chaos.
That was some queen shit of her, though, to be like, what a funny, stupid lie. Of course I will lean into it with you. That is the funniest shit I've ever heard. She's like, you blamed it on me because you didn't think I was real? Comedic genius. I liked her. She was a baddie.
She was. Ultra Boy, pretty unlikable in this arc. But of course, he had like 4 lines. He punched more than he talked.
I would kick that kid's ass. That's all I got to say. I think every single boy on the Legion Superheroes needed to spend an afternoon in a locker while the girls went out and saved the day, because they needed to sit with their emotions.
And, you know, quick rest in peace to Dream Girl, who got the whole fridge dropped on her.
Listen, they killed her so hard, and I was like, first off, how dare you? Second off, with the little drooping hand out of the rubble, I was like, what a dramatic ass way to die. She even died a queen. Look at her.
That was a
outstanding
crime.
Outstanding work. What a dramatic ass way to die. You know who I wish would have died? Element Lad Soul Patch. That made him the third least likable person. So first off, Chameleon, terrible. Second off, Invisible Boy, murder him on sight. Third off, Element Lad, you could have been cool. And then you had this horrible little hamster underneath your lip. And I was like, listen, Triplicate Girl shouldn't have even gone on one of her three dates with you. You are not worthy.
That date was so stale. He goes, I guess I like being naked. I said, what the fuck? When the 2016 fuckboy, get out of here.
She's like, what do you like? He's like, being nude. And she's like, you have a soul patch, my guy. No way. 0% chance.
He thought about that shit back
to the apartment.
He was practicing that line in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. He thought about that shit for six panels. Six.
He was like, firefly. She was talking about her life, and he was like, I like being naked. I like being naked. I like being naked. She's like, and then, Element Lad, that's when my planet of just me's kicked me out. What do you think about that? I like being naked. She's like, word, word. And then every time he was talking, all she could hear was, I have a soul patch. I have a soul patch. I've got this little furry soul patch just right here under my lips. A soul patch. The soul patch's name is Eugene. Eugene Element Lad Soul Patch.
Look, no, you can't name it because the moment you name it, it becomes more interesting than it actually is. Oh,
facial hair divorced of mustaches is always a bad idea.
Noted. Do we want to move on to our listener questions for this week?
Yeah,
do we have any other comments before we move on? Any more soul patch hating to get out of the way? Rightfully so.
Anne is trying to silence me.
Yeah.
No, Okay, anyways, first question comes in from Joshua Gomez. Hello, Collective. Three boot Legion questions. First, which Legionnaire would you want to date? Second, which Legionnaire would your parents want you to date? Third, to you, what's his name, Colossal Boy or Micro Lad? Down with adults. Long live the Legion.
Y'all go first.
I feel like I would want to date Triplicate for personal reasons. I feel like my parents would maybe vote Colossal Boy because they're Republican. But
I don't know why that made me laugh so much.
I'm John Boy.
If you look at his face on any of those covers, you know.
He's definitely Republican. He owns guns. Red.
I know what you are.
He definitely owns guns. What was the third question? I forgot it already. I guess I
can. Oh, is his name Colossal Boy or Micro Lad?
Oh, for sure. Micro Lad. He looks like he has a tiny penis. The end.
That's the only.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so when I was a teen, I definitely had a crush on Phantom Girl and Shadow Lass. Those were the two. But I feel like my parents would want me to date like a Saturn Girl. It's like, this is like, she is stable. She knows what she wants. She's a leader, you know, just go with that. And also his name is Colossal Boy, but that's just because I know other legions and I can't divorce him from that.
All right. I want to date Phantasma. I married Phantasma. I love a strong-willed, sassy woman who just likes a handsome guy and doesn't want to hear his thoughts. Which Legionnaire would my parents want me to date? My mom would chat with Saturn Girl all day long. They would talk shit on me constantly. And Saturn Girl would be like, do you want to know what was in his brain? What thoughts he was having. My mom would be like, spill. And then she would tell her, and then I would get a lecture about those thoughts from my mother. Horrible. Also, his name is Micro Lad because I don't believe in dead naming people.
Okay, so I'm the bad guy. Okay, I get it. I see how it is. Okay, fine. Do you want to read the next question, Dallas?
Oh, I knew that would get a reaction out of you. I just gained 5 XP.
For the dark side, Jesus. You lost Paragon points.
I always choose the bad version on video games, and I don't know what that says about me.
I think that says fucking everything. I would have called that so hard.
My cousin once sat me down and was like, I think we need to have a talk about how you treat the NPCs in Red Dead Redemption 2. And I said, what? And he was like, just because there are no consequences in here doesn't mean that these aren't very telling about what kind of person you are. And I was like, I was like, what it's telling you is that it is always funny to tie someone up and leave them on the railroad tracks. Have you never seen a cartoon?
This is why Zach's still single. He's not fun. Thank you.
I was like, if I get going fast enough on my horse, I can pull them behind my horse and they will get a little bit of air behind me. And I'll just have someone on a lasso behind me flying like a kite, like a big fleshy kite, Zach.
I was literally playing Horizon Zero Dawn earlier and freaking out because I'm like, okay, I need to do this side mission next because I really got to save his wife. I really got to save this dude's wife. His wife is in peril. I need to go now. And then you're like,
I will gut a man for 5 silver on Red Dead Redemption. I will see you guys. Sometimes I'll just punch people just to feel something in Red Dead. Well, I got my bow. Oh, man, you're on the ground. And then I had to reset the game once because I killed an entire town because they kept sending the cops after me and I was holed up so well on the top of a saloon that it was like an ocean of dead bodies. And I was like, maybe Zach was right. Maybe I do need to go home and think about my life.
This does say a lot about you. What?
I did that with Assassin's Creed once, but I was killing the British, so I felt pretty justified.
That's fair. As I wear my Princess Diana t-shirt in honor of Queen Elizabeth's death.
Exactly. Imagine an entire pit of Queen Elizabeth's all around me.
Beautiful love.
Beautiful.
Dear Comics Collective.
Yeah, there we go.
Compared to all of Marvel's many dystopian or apocalyptic futures, the Legion has always been considered by many an example of how DC is a much more hopeful universe. How hopeful do you actually find the various incarnations of the Legion and the 30 to 31st centuries? More generally, if you could have one hyper-specific superpower, like what would it be and what silly name would you give yourself? Glad to hear Anne is healing well and that the show is back to its regular lesbian correspondent. Sincerely, Mullet Overlord. All right, so
towards Evan.
Do we like this as a utopian future and do we feel like it's actually very utopian? And what is your Legion superpower and name?
Like I said earlier, love that it's utopian. I think it's very utopian. I feel like only sometimes it slips away from that. The Legion's definitely had darker moments, but it's never become dystopian. I feel like there's moments where the Legion's had very, I want to say 21st century moments, where it feels like very much today, the political climate of today, where it's like very stressful, but never close to dystopian.
What do you think, Lex?
I really like it. I like the utopian vibe. It's very happy. Sometimes the dystopian is a little too depressing.
Yeah, I want to reclaim the future. I want to reclaim the future in fiction. If the best we can do is imagining that it's all going to go to shit, then that's not really something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
All right. What is your Legion superpower and super name?
I vote. We pick our power, but everybody else has to name you.
Oh shit. Okay. Here that we go. Great.
Dallas, I have a very bouncy ass. Like if I fall back on my butt, it will bounce me like 25 feet away. Or if I like twist really fast and I hit someone with it, it will launch them away.
You're like Aunt Fanny.
I am like Aunt Fanny. I have a trampoline ass.
Fanny Manny.
Yeah, there you go. Fanny Manny. Love it.
I take this with pride.
Okay, Anne, you go next.
Oh, shit. I shoot pride lights out of my hands, and whatever pride light I hit you with, that's your new sexuality.
Can you imagine? Ugh. That would get so many things like, done.
Boom, you're bi now.
Can
boom,
you imagine if,
welcome to gender dysphoria, bitch. Boom.
Can you imagine if all men just became a little bit fruity?
We get a little bit fruity.
Done. We get so much done.
I control your fruitometer.
I name you Citibank Lass.
Oh, that was a good one.
Beautiful. I love it.
I feel like my power. I would want to be a telepath because I'm nosy as fuck and need to know everybody's business. Like, I love it. It's like my favorite thing. I love eavesdropping on people. So if I could just eavesdrop into their mind, game over, man. I know everybody's secrets.
But your nose grows as you listen because you're being nosy.
It's already fucking big enough. It doesn't need to be any bigger. Thanks.
I was going to say, imagine if you're a telepath, but every time you read something in someone else's mind, you have to shout it at the top of your lungs.
Like a little paper boy in the 20s. On the corner. Reading everybody's secret.
Read all about it. Ladies having an affair.
Oh, funny.
All right, what's the name for Nosy Lass?
I got nothing clever. We got Nosy Lass, and that's about Dallas. You have to do something. I'm putting this on you.
A gawking gal.
Gawking.
True. I would clock myself so fast. I would clock myself so fast if I knew everybody's thoughts. They'd be like, "How do you know that?" I'd be like,
I loved that Dream Girl was like a precog that refused to live in the now. That she's like, I already told you this. And like, no, you didn't. She's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say something so funny about her earlier, and I just remembered. I love her. She's one of my favorites. But the moment that she asks What's-His-Face to punch her right in the face to put her out, I thought that was so funny. I was like, what a queen. She just can't take a nap.
Put me on my ass.
And he did. I was like, woof. Good for you.
She said, knock me out. Cold. And he said, no questions asked.
Yeah, he just did it too. I was like, is this a normal thing for them? Is this what they just do?
There it's was called, no hesitation.
Nope. It's called teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Oh, pent up testosterone. He said, all right, bet.
He said, ba-boom.
Oh, that was wonderful. And thank you, Mullet Overlord,
that was very fun.
Sending in the comment and the well wishes. Do we have anything else before we wrap this wonderful episode up?
No.
I vote we should read more from them, but from other writers. Because they're fun.
Send us back to the camp, baby.
Oh, I will do some investigating and see if I can find something. I think next we'll probably do the Great Darkness Saga. Just to be safe. Just to be safe, we'll do the one that everyone loves. You know, for shits and giggles.
Yay!
Fine. I hope they're kooky.
I bet they will be. Queer. Anytime the Bouncing Boy is in the Legion, they're going to be a little kooky.
I mean, it sounds like Bouncing Boy is creeping in on my bouncing ass turf, so I'm not so sure about all this.
He's you, except all of it. He's caked up everywhere.
All right, well, let's do the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I literally just put my phone down. I was like, I knew I had it for a reason. Okay. Sorry, guys. You'd think that after 2 years I'd be used to this.
Anyways, thank you for listening to the end, everyone. Anyways, thank you.
Everybody. Oh, yeah. I have it. Thank you. I love it. Okay, everyone, if you like our show and want to hear more from us throughout the week, please go follow our Twitter account at CMX Collective or our TikTok account with Dallas's cute face all over it, which is at The Comics Collective. Very fun, very good videos. Love when they show up on my For You page. Or you can find each of us at our personal Twitter accounts at Dallas_comics, at Ann Comics, and at LexiLou_comics.
If you enjoyed the show and want to show your support, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening and give us a 5-star review, and we will read it off on the show. We don't have any this week.
And finally, feel free to email us with your questions or comments for the show at thecomicscollective@gmail.com. Would love more questions and comments.
And everybody, I'm so excited. I'm going to get excited just talking about it. But next week, we officially start Spooky Month, bitches. So buckle up. Ooh. We're coming back with my pick of the month, My Friend Dahmer. It is about the infamous, I hate that word, serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer. There's a movie on Hulu, very similar, very, I hate to say, good movie. I want to go about it in a sensitive way to the families of the victims and the victims thereof, but we will be going over that story and the history of that case. I don't know if any of you know this, but I am a very big true crime follower. I like that world, so I'm very excited to tell you all of my things. So, tune in.
Oh, very excited. You're going to nail this one. I'm so ready.
Like I said, I don't know if anybody listened to last year's Jack the Ripper episode, but similar vibe.
That's perfect. I can't believe it's been a year since we've done that.
I'll never recover from that book.
Never recover from it. Trauma. Great book. Don't tell Dallas.
Nah.
No.
Nope.
Never.
Trauma.
Not even once. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we going to end the episode now? Dallas, you're just staring. You want to wrap it? You want to say bye?
Goodbye.